All right. How are you all feeling? You're fed? Yes. That's great. I'm happy to hear that. All right. So this particular moment, how long do we have together? Do you know?
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's great.
What I would like to do is to begin by sharing with you a little contemplation that I have about maybe where Jesus got these Beatitudes from. It's a theory. It's a Melissa Foley theory. So just so you know. And then what I would like to do is to give you an actual the Holy Spirit will give you an experience of what it means to be poor in spirit. And then I would love to hear what you experience in your prayer. So then we're going to talk about it. So if you have questions or you want to share what happened, it would be great. It helps us a lot to hear from each other. Okay? Does that sound like a plan? Yeah. As we're entering back into this space and we've had time to be with each other, I thought I might just share a little bit about a glimpse into Jesus's childhood. The Gospels give us this glimpse into Jesus's childhood, but we can imagine the tender moments that he shared with his mother during those early years in Nazareth. And as he grew up, Jesus was not only learning the trade of carpentry, right, from Joseph, but he was also learning profound spiritual truths from his mom, who was uniquely filled with grace, uniquely poor in spirit, so poor that God poured himself into her. It was during these ordinary moments with Jesus in his early life, that simplicity, that Jesus's heart was shaped and nurtured for the extraordinary mission that lay ahead. So imagine Jesus as a young child, curious, he's eager to learn, walking hand in hand with Mary through quiet hills surrounding their home. Mary knowing that her child is destined to something great. She takes these walks as opportunities to teach him deep truths about God, about life, about love. She plants a seed of wisdom in his heart, seeds that will one day flourish into his public teachings, especially beautiful Beatitudes that he would share during the Sermon on the Mount. We can call this lessons from the hills. How about that? Imagine young Jesus, maybe he's 5 or 6, holding his mother's hand as they walk through the rolling hills of Nazareth. The sun is setting, painting the sky in these soft hues of orange and pink, and a gentle breeze sways in the tall grass around them. This evening walk has become a cherished routine for them, a time when Mary teaches her son important lessons. And as they come to a resting spot, on a smooth rock, Mary sits down and lifts Jesus onto her lap, smiling in his eager eyes. She knows how unique he is, and yet her lessons come from the heart of a loving mother, gently guiding her child. Mary looks at Jesus, pointing to the simplicity of the surroundings. And she says, "See, my son, see the flowers of the field? They don't worry. And the birds, they don't gather into barns. They all depend on God for everything, just like we do. When we're humble and know that we need God above all things, we're rich in his love. Remember, Jesus, true greatness is not in being powerful or having everything, but in need of God for everything. Yes, my son, blessed are the poor in spirit." Then she points to the clear water, maybe by a nearby stream. "See, Jesus, how clear the water is? You can see all the way to the bottom. That's how our heart should be, pure and clean, with nothing hiding. When we love God with all our hearts and do good without wanting anything in return, our hearts become like that water, and one day we will see God clearly. Oh yes, Jesus, blessed are the pure of heart. Can you just hear her saying these things? She continues, her voice softening a little bit. Sometimes when we feel sad, Jesus, we'll lose people we love. We may see others suffering. God sees our tears and comforts us, just like I hold you when you're sad. Mourning with those who are hurting is an act of love. When our hearts break for others, it brings God close to us. He's always close to those who suffer. Mary smiles and points to the lambs grazing in the distance. Look at those little lambs. They're gentle and don't fight or push to get their way. Meekness, Jesus, is about having a gentle heart. Even when we're strong, God wants us to be gentle with others, to care for them, and to be patient, just like lambs who quietly follow their shepherd. When we are meek, God will give us everything that we need. And she turns Jesus' attention to the workers in the field. See those men working so hard, planting and harvesting food? Just like we need food and drink to grow, we need to desire what is good and right to be close to God. Always seek what is right, Jesus. Help others. Do what God desires. When you want these things, God will fill your heart with love. I can imagine the Blessed Mother looking into his eyes and tenderly touching his cheek and saying, when someone does something wrong, we must forgive them. Mercy is like when I forgive you if you make a mistake. We all need mercy, and God wants us to be merciful to others. When we forgive God, God also forgives us and showers us with mercy. Mary might point to children that are playing nearby one night. Maybe she would say, when she sees the little children arguing, she might smile, say, God loves those who make peace. When we help others to get along, or when we're first to say, I'm sorry, we bring God's peace into the world. And a peacemaker is like a bridge, helping others to come together. And when we do this, we truly become God's children. Mary's expression becomes more serious. Jesus, there might be times, my son, when people don't understand or accept us because we do what is right. Sometimes it's hard to follow God, but remember, God is always with those who stay true to him, even when it's difficult. When we choose to do good, even if others are unkind, God's kingdom belongs to us. I can imagine little Jesus listening intently to his mom, nodding his head with a childlike seriousness, Mary kissing his forehead, feeling the weight of who he is and the great mission he will one day undertake. She knows that these lessons, planted now in the tender soil of his heart, will bloom as he grows, guiding him in his mission to bring God's love to all. They rise from the rock, and Mary takes Jesus's hand once more, leading him back home as the stars begin to appear in the evening sky. She knows that someday Jesus will not only teach these lessons to others, but embody them perfectly. He will be the living beatitude, God's love incarnate. But for now, she teaches her son with the gentleness of a mother, nurturing the seeds of divine love that will one day transform the world. This reflection came from me thinking about or praying about the Beatitudes. When I think about them, the beginning of every Beatitude sounds very feminine to me. It sounds feminine. Blessed are. I just hear the Blessed Mother's voice. I hear her, blessed are you. But the backside of those Beatitudes sound very masculine to me, right? You will inherit the kingdom, right? Doesn't that sound like, yeah, a little bit more masculine, you know? It's like Jesus' spin on it. Yeah. So I don't know. I love thinking about the Blessed Mother and how she must have, the weight that she must have felt in teaching him, caring for him. And I wonder about how much he knew already, how much he was still learning and growing. I thought I would offer that to you as a way of maybe how the Beatitudes started in the beginning. All right. So I would love to give you an experience with the Holy Spirit today. Now, someone asked me on the break, what do you do? Basically, what are you doing when you talk about your ministry? What does that mean? I am with people every day praying for their healing. I didn't know I had a gift of healing until maybe 10 years ago when someone did this for me. As I went through a very significant healing transformation in my life, people started coming to me and asking me to pray for them. And I have always had an intercessory gift. Even when I was little, I was praying for everybody. But something changed. Something started to change. Something was different. When people started coming and I would pray for them, the fruit was different. Something was different. Healing started happening in ways that was more obvious. The people were commenting back to me like that was really helpful or very healing. And so that's when I was like, wait a second. Maybe I have a gift of healing and didn't know it. So you all probably have all these gifts you have no idea that you have. And that's kind of exciting. So I do believe that your presence here today means that God has some healing in store for you. That's how my mission works. That's how he flows the gift that I didn't earn. I didn't you know what I mean? There's nothing I did to earn it. He just is so gratuitous in giving his graces. He's healing you in some way today because we're together. I know that for a fact. And I'm excited for you because you just never know what he's going to do. It's always a surprise. So anyway, I hope that helps to clarify a little bit. Now, one of the ways that our Lord leads me into healing prayer is we ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify your imagination. God gave you an imagination. It's a gift. And when he takes it and makes it holy, he loves to communicate to you through your imagination. And so that's what I was hoping that we could do today. So a little bit like me asking Sam, right, about his cabin. It's a little bit like that. What does it look like? What does it look like when you're starting to pray? Okay. Now, some people, they find it difficult to utilize their imagination. Sometimes that's a little difficult, and that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes instead of seeing things, sometimes people feel things. Sometimes they smell things. Sometimes they might feel a presence, but they can't see anything. God loves you and works with you in your own unique way. So just because for me, I see things and I hear things, that doesn't mean that that's how he's going to communicate to you. If you think about it like this, you have your five senses. Your body has senses: sight and hearing and touch and sound, taste, feel. You also have those five senses in the spirit. So some of you might have that spiritual ability to see in the spirit pretty clearly. Some of you might be able to hear a little bit better. Some of you might be able to smell better, right? Touch better. So that's the realm that you kind of experience the spirit through. Does that make sense? Sort of. Okay. we're going to practice, and then you're going to know a whole lot more when we're done of what our Lord's doing in you. Okay? I just wanted you to have a little bit of background about that. All right? Does anyone have any questions before I begin about that? About, yes. Okay, that's a really good question. She said, do I have any tips on how we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to begin with a prayer. And that prayer is going to keep us in a safe spot to encounter our Lord. We all are very used to taking control of things. And this is not that. Actually, anytime we're really, really being with our Lord and we're actually not working at all, the idea is to let him do the work and we get to receive that stature of receptivity is what it means to be poor in spirit. But so it's not doing anything. It's putting yourself in a position or like a spiritual posture of receiving what God wants to give. Now, when he takes over your imagination, what it looks like is a movie. It looks like a movie is playing in your mind, okay? You don't have to control the movie. You don't have to say what the ending is going to be, and you don't have to do all that. Just let it happen, okay? You just let it, let him, give him permission to do whatever he wants to do, okay? Does that help you? Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, you'll have more questions when we're finished. You'll have more questions. Okay, very good. How are y'all feeling about this? Yeah, well, you're here. So, our Lord loves you so much, and he gets really excited about things like this. He loves it. It's like one of his favorite things. So I'm excited for you. All right, so I invite you to close your eyes, get you in a comfortable position. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill us full to the fullness of God, overflowing with your grace and mercy, overflowing with your love and your presence here with us today. Lord, I ask that as your Spirit comes and begins to pour into through the top of our heads and down through our bodies, that you cleanse our faculties, cleansing our memory, our emotions, our intellect, intuition, cleanse our imagination. And as you flow through us, cleansing, that you're pushing everything out of us that is not of you, sending everything that is not of you to the foot of the cross for you, Lord, to deal with as you see fit. And in that place, Lord, you're just continuing to fill us with your Spirit, inviting you to come and to be with us, to be present with us. Ask you, Lord, to command there to be no demonic interaction, interplay, or communications during our time together today, that the precious blood come and to cover each one of us here, refilling and restoring us. That the Blessed Mother, of course, be with us, covering us with her mantle. So that we just are really nice and secure and safe with both of them as we enter into this prayer. So I invite you to imagine, for the Holy Spirit to show you, you holding a bowl, B-O-W-L. That you're holding a bowl in your hands.
I want you to notice its size, its shape, what it's made out of. Just really take a good look at it. How heavy does it feel? How do you feel about this bowl? How do you feel about it? This bowl represents your soul. Is it open and waiting and ready to be filled? It's shaped in a way that's ready to receive what it was meant for. Maybe your bowl has some stuff in it. What does your bowl have inside of it? If your bowl has something in it, how do you feel about that? What if you were to consider that your bowl was made to be simple, uncluttered? If your bowl was empty, is there anything you would want it to be filled with? And as you bring those areas to mind, remember the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Being poor in spirit means recognizing that your bowl, your soul, cannot be filled by your own efforts. It's an openness, a humility, poverty that turns toward God with trust, saying, "Lord, I need you. I cannot fill this space myself with good things." Now I invite you to look around in your imagination and see Jesus with you. He might be behind you. You might just feel a presence, and that's okay. He's looking at the bowl you're holding. His eyes are full of love, and his gaze as he gazes into this empty vessel, not with disappointment, but with love. He knows what you need before you even ask. How does he feel about you? Just listen to what he says. What does he want you to know about your bowl? As you continue to be there with Jesus, another figure approaches. It's the Blessed Mother. The woman who was poor in spirit from the very beginning, who said yes to God with this empty, humble heart, knowing that only He could fill her. Mary's holding a bowl too. What do you notice about her bowl? Is there anything in her bowl? Notice that there's no anxiety in her. There's no grasping for control. She embodies trust. She shows you what it means to be open to God's will, to be open to Him, to be poor in spirit. She lets God's love and His grace pour into her. She reminds you that true blessedness comes when we allow God to fill our emptiness. Now return your focus back to the bowl in your hands. Is there anything that you would like Jesus to do with your bowl? Maybe you can watch as He gently pours His love and peace and grace into the emptiness of the bowl. And you can feel the weight of His blessing. So just take a moment to rest in the presence of Jesus and Our Lady. Maybe they're having a conversation about you. As you slowly come back to me from this time of contemplation, you can just take a deep breath. You can hold that image of the bowl, that time that you've just spent with Jesus and Mary in your heart. I thank You, Lord, with so much gratitude for spending this time with us. So whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back here.
Welcome back. Feels like you were somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a strange feeling, doesn't it?
How did it go? How did it go?
Wow.
Yes, I see. I saw a lot of tears, a lot of nodding, like it went somewhere. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, yes.
I thought it was surprising because I didn't purposely try to control the bowl, what the bowl looked like. It just kind of happened, and it was very revealing, honestly. I was surprised by what that bowl, what in my imagination, what popped up as the bowl.
So can you hear her back there? No. She was surprised. Oh, thank you. That was going to be very helpful. Thank you, Vaughn. She was surprised, one, that it just happened, that there wasn't a lot of effort that was being put in, and that she was surprised that of what it was, what the bowl ended up being like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I get that right?
Yes. And I was kind of okay, am I supposed to light this bowl?
I wasn't sure how I felt about
it. Oh, okay.
And I kind of was this is kind of heavy, and I'm not really sure if I want it. And it's still the kind of bowl I would have chosen. But anyway, I don't know if anybody else felt that way.
But
I realized after Jesus was there what he was he kind of showed me what the purpose of my bowl was.
How do you feel about the bowl now?
It's a big responsibility because my bowl was a metal bowl, like a mini small baptismal pot, and it was reflecting the light, and Jesus looked, put his face in it, and he just said, oh, well, he didn't say anything, actually. So it just was, I felt like purpose was just for me to reflect Jesus' face.
Oh, okay. And that is like a decade of CCD classes or something in like 10 minutes. That's like,
that's what we were just talking about this morning. It's becoming another him. Yeah. And it does feel like a responsibility, huh? Yeah. I see that it brings tears. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when he's calling you to reflect him?
I mean, that's what I want, but I have to just keep my eyes on him always. And that always.
Uh-huh.
And just to keep my eyes on him. That's it. So I don't know. I'm still taking it all in.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Very good. You did well. Very well. I'm proud of you.
And Mary had a bread basket. Like it was a bowl with bread in it. I thought that was interesting because she bore the bread of life, right? So.
Exactly. That's amazing, isn't it? There's so much to say in what you just shared. There's so much. I want you to hold that image in your heart, and I want to ask other people what they experienced too, because you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised. I have a feeling. Yes. What happened?
I actually had a lot of trouble seeing a bowl. Recently, I've been having a lot of anxiety and turbulent feelings, and I've been at war with myself a lot.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't so much a bowl as a feeling. If that makes any sense.
Well, yeah. What was the feeling?
Serenity. Like, it's like, it kind of like, it was nothing but everything, if that makes any sense. It was calm. It was acceptance, safety. And it's something I haven't felt in a while. So...
I'm going to ask you how you feel about your feelings, but how do you feel in security and in presence and serenity?
I feel like I got rest that I needed. And I've been trying to find a college recently. And I feel like I'm not supposed to look. I'm supposed to rest and let it come to me.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really great example of how someone might not see, but they feel. That's a great example. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You were talking about that place of prayer, and mine was... I grew up in Connecticut on Long Island Sound, and there was beach. And a lot of happy memories there, and despite turmoil. And it was like me on the beach looking out on Long Island Sound with the pebbles and the lighthouse, the float. And Jesus is up in the pavilion standing there. And I stand up, and I wait. And he waves, and then I start walking fast, and he comes down the steps. So then that was where I was. And then you toss about the bowl. And my bowl was a simple wooden bowl that you would mix a salad in. But it was very, very rich with the wood colors and the smoothness. And I had a few pieces of sea glass in there because I love sea glass.
Okay.
And he was coming over looking, and I said, you know, there just isn't a lot of sea glass anymore.
Mm-hmm. These are very lovely pieces. I said, yeah, I just love sea glass. It's like bringing that, you know, nature taking care of something that would be considered trash.
And then you talked about the Blessed Mother, and she came by, and she had a wooden bowl, but she had these beautiful things in it. And all I could say was, may I touch one? She said, of course. So I'm touching it, and you're just beautiful and smooth. She said, let me put some in for you in your bowl. I said, oh, she looked at me like, don't even, you know? Don't even deny, no. You know, like the mother, like, that's okay. No. And it wasn't a lot, but it was enough for me to not fill my bowl, but it wasn't over, you know, it was enough to understand her love, but also she knew I couldn't take too much. And as they were talking about me, it wasn't like, they were like, that bowl fits her. You know, she just loves, it fits this beach. You know, you just know it. She used to like all that ornate stuff, but she really just liked that simple wood. And then you called me.
Back, sorry. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. So one of the things that I would just love to draw to your attention is the theological accurateness of some of these moments. That moment illustrates to me the Blessed Mother as the mediatrix of all grace. Her, you know, extending those graces to you just the right amount, just what you need, not too much, not too little, but just what you need right now. And how accepting you were of what she was giving, right? You were ready for what she gave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love it that he was away and that you started coming to him and he started coming to you, right? Because sometimes in these moments, sometimes you'll see Jesus, but he'll be far off. And if that happened to you, right, the idea is that you either call him closer because he's staying at a distance because you want, that's where you want him, or you start running to him and he'll start coming to you. So that's a really beautiful example of proximity that I was talking about before. Well done. You received very well.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Mine was a wooden bowl. Shallow and a little bit kind of like an oversized salad bowl. It was wooden, but it was kind of rough hewn. And it didn't have anything in it. And when you had Mary come into the room with a bowl, hers was identical to mine with the exception that it was really polished. It looked nice. Exact same bowl, except it was like a finished bowl.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And what I found in it were prayers.
In hers?
Yes. Not necessarily like written app, almost like you could almost have whispered voices saying them as well. And that's about all I got.
That's beautiful. I will say that I can't tell you how I've done this. This is the third time I've done this with a group. I can't tell you how many times people say that their bowl and the Blessed Mother's bowl look the same. Did any of you have that also? Yeah, look at this. Look around. There's some Mariology here, Marianology that's happening. I'm not sure what exactly this means other than I think that for some people, she's trying to communicate, like, I'm human, you know, like, I'm human too, but a little more polished, right? A little more polished. And I love the idea that she was carrying those prayers, the voices, right? There are people behind the prayers for her. Whispers, yeah. It's beautiful. 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 Thank you. Anybody else?
Um, I'll just share briefly the moment when you encouraged us to imagine Mary. She just came in with the bowl kind of on her hip in just such a, like, this isn't a burden. Like, for me, my bowl felt heavy. And her, she just came in with such a grace about her. And then I think the most touching part for me was when it was time for Jesus to pour into my bowl. She kind of just gave him the eye as, like, you know, when you're trying to tell someone, like, yeah, tell them this big secret. Like, she just gave him the eye, and he started to pour into my bowl. And it was just such a profound moment of her love for me, too.
That.
Yeah, which I needed.
What was he pouring into the bowl, you know?
It was water. My bowl, when I first received my bowl, there was just, it was moist. It wasn't filled, but I saw remnant, like when you drink in out of your glass and there's a little bit left. And I didn't really know why. And that he was giving me what I actually needed, that thirst.
How many people had water in their bowl? Yeah. As water is also very symbolic and present in this meditation too. I think that it has a lot to do with baptism.
I think that the water has a lot to do with baptism, and that yours is a baptismal font itself filled with water in that reflection. I think water in your bowl has significant meaning. Yeah.
Were you worried about it, that your bowl only had a little bit of water in the beginning?
No, I think it was a reflection of that thought, Jesus, that's not what you were for me. Why that to them?
Yes.
Sarah.
Yeah. She said, I wasn't necessarily worried that there was a little bit of water. I just knew that he had more for me.
I would definitely say that probably many of you had that experience, that there's just more for you. Yes. Yeah. Anybody else want to share?
Okay, 3 minutes. Okay.
Go, Holy Spirit.
So my bowl was a red fiesta bowl.
Oh,
red fiesta bowl.
And my sins were written in paper in it.
Okay.
And when Jesus sat down, he looked at you, but just dump it. You're done. You've done this.
We've done this.
Well, you're fit.
So what did you do with your, what did you do?
Flipped it over, and then it was empty.
Uh-huh.
And then Mary changed. And I don't remember where her bowl was. They were sitting, and just like it took out, everything seemed calmer. And, you know, he was pouring something in the bowl, but I don't really
know what it is.
Like him, you know, spilling out.
How do you feel after dumping your sins out and being refilled with him?
I think we all go through this process a lot. And if you were saying you're filling up, and of course I'm filling up and overflowing with tears. So it was just, I never had that feeling of really going out and dumping them.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm really so proud of you for not fighting him on that. Because you could have been like, no. These are mine, and I'm going to keep these, and this is how I feel about it. Because he would have let you do that. But you didn't. You didn't. There was a level of trust that you stepped into that you had the courage just to dump it and let him pour himself into you. I love it so much. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Okay. Okay, just a few more.
Kiss off.
So I was thinking it was going to be positive. So when you said a bowl,
uh-huh.
The first thing I got was the white ceramic bowl that I have to fill all these
vegetables with, because we have to make our food from scratch. And so it was really like, I was very disappointed that God gave me this white ceramic bowl from the kitchen where I don't do very well. And what was in it was my resentment and inadequacies. And I was able to give it to Jesus. He was sitting at the table where my husband would normally sit. He was like, well, it's okay, you can feed me. And so I gave him the resentment and the inadequacies, and they just said that with him that I can bless my family.
How are you feeling now about your experience with him?
I think I have a lot of hope that he can help me to be focused, to work in the kitchen with him, because I'm a musician, right? So I'm not really very focused in the kitchen. I'm not very focused except when I'm doing music. And but that with him, that he can be the one that's blessing my family, and I shouldn't get like upset if it takes me longer or whatever. So peace, more peaceful.
More peaceful.
More hope.
Yeah, good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. There's a lot there. There's a lot in that. But I thank you for sharing that, because sometimes what he does want to communicate, it's hard for us to hear. It's hard, but at the same time, he's like, but I'm here. Like, let me help you with this, you know? So you did good. You did great. Okay, one more.
So I feel a little bit vulnerable sharing, because I feel as though I didn't have that extremely peaceful sort of imagery that everyone had.
Okay.
So when you started and you said to imagine a bowl, and my bowl appeared, it looked oversized. It was very, very heavy, and it was already soaked.
What was it filled with?
Well, at first, seemed like it was filled with clear water, and then right after that, really dark, murky liquid started rushing in from I don't know where.
Uh-huh.
And so when Nell said, like, oh, fill the bowl, like, you know, Jesus would come and appear and then start filling the bowl, I was like, oh, okay. So I felt like the presence of Jesus was, like, next to me. And I felt like I was trying to blop all this murky whatever that was filling into the bowl. And then I just felt like I needed to sort of let go and just let the bowl just fill up with the murky water, which did not make any sense to me at the time. And so the water just kept sort of swirling between dark and clear, dark and clear. And then when you said that Mary should enter, we talked about to allow Mary to sort of, like, you know, approach us. She cut my bowl open. And then I think I caught my tie, nodded at Mary, and he said to wake up. And I don't know what happened after that.
And I was like, oh.
How did you feel when the Blessed Mother took your bowl?
I think at birth, I wanted to sort of reach for it, but I felt like I was kind of pulled back from reaching for it. So I just was like, I have no choice but to sort of just, like, sit still, kind of, you know, just, I have no choice but to just not do anything. Which I feel is sort of all my life deals at the moment. There's, like, a lot happening, and it's like I don't have a lot of center. There's a lot of things. Was I have, like, no choice but to sort of just almost, like, being told, like, sit this one out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there, and I'm just kind of, like, fall. And I...
Oh, how would you feel about you and I praying after this?
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I would much rather we close this up in a way that feels a little bit better to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel bad. It just feels like up in the air, I guess.
A little up in the air, yeah. There's just probably a little bit more here. Maybe you and I can just work through a little tiny bit if you want, of course. Yeah. Just find me afterward.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions? Any questions? Before we end.
Probably louder. I've done some theoplastic therapy before. Mm-hmm. Just but to remain EWU, it just kind of been rooted to theoplastic.
I would say that theophostics is a healing methodology. Yeah. I think there are some differences, quite a few differences between the method that I use in theophostics, but it's under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the methodology. Yes.
How can we incorporate this to our own prayer life without you?
How can you do this without me? That's what she said. Yeah. If I were to give a recommendation on how you can start to do this, it would be something very simple. That is, at night, you can, when you set aside a little bit of time at night and start to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come, and think about the best part of your day that day. Okay? Just think about the best part. And look around you and see where Jesus was with you during that part of your day. What was he doing? How did he feel about you? What does he want you to know? It's the simplest way for you to start encountering him and working with him and seeing how he relates to you in a very personal way. Starting with something very positive is much easier than starting with the harder part. Your day. You'll work up to that. You'll work up to that because you're going to get real curious real quick. If you're with me then, well, what about this time? And what about that time? And there isn't a moment that you can go back to in your life where he's not going to be able to be found right there.
The last part.
Sure. How does he feel about you? And what does he want you to know? Yeah. Okay. Very easy. We're just trying to begin to have a more personal relationship with him. That's all we're doing. That's all you're doing. Also, cooperating with him during the day, sometimes he might bring a memory back to you. A lot of times what we want to do is just shove the memory away or think, oh, that's just a memory or whatever. No, that's the Holy Spirit, most likely. So engaging with him in your thoughts and what's happening. If you're not sure where it's coming from, just say, Lord, is there anything you want me to know about that memory? Is there anything you want me to know? Like talk to him like you're talking to your friend. Yeah. Okay. I think that is all the time that we have together. You did great. You did amazing. I think the Holy Spirit was really moving here in you. And I'm really happy to hear that you had an experience of him. If you have any questions that you were like a little worried about asking in this whole big group, you can definitely, maybe we can just chat a little bit if you need some clarification or if you need some help about maybe something he was doing. Okay. So let's seal. Yes.
Information.
I do. If you need anything, if you want to know how to reach me, I'm at resurrectedlife.com. That's pretty easy. If you want a speaker flyer, they're still upstairs on the second floor. It has my contact information on there also. So I would love to hear about your experiences from today. I would love to hear that. Okay. So let's close with a prayer. Okay. I have not written a book. I want to so desperately. Yeah. But not yet. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So Lord, thank you for all the graces that you have bestowed on your little girls here this morning. I know you love them so much. And I ask that you break down any structures that have been cleaned and tidied up during this time of prayer so that there's nothing for the enemy to come back to. as you continue to build each one on that firm foundation of who you are as their good and faithful, providing, strong father, and who they are as your precious little daughters. I ask you to put a fresh coat of armor on them so they're nice and secure in the spirit today, putting on a helmet of salvation to protect their minds, a breastplate of righteousness to protect their hearts, put a shield of faith in their arm to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy, the sword of the spirit in their hand so that they can discern what is good from evil and cut away evil in their life. Put really cute sandals of peace on their feet
so they can go where you need them to go, and a belt of truth to tie it all together for battle worthiness so that they can watch you do the battle for them and with them. Bless their femininity, bless their hearts as wives and mothers, sisters, daughters, friends, and servants. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much.